Today's daf is Chulin Daf Vav, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Hey Amid Beis Omar Rab Chana. So we're moving along here in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin, where the Gemara is continuing its discussion of the very first line of the Masechta. The Masechta began with the laws of Shechita and said, HaKoyl Shechtin, everybody's allowed to Shecht, U'Shechita Sangshera, and B'dieved, anyone that Shechts, Shechita is going to be kosher. And the Gemara, right at the beginning, suggested that even though, of course, the theme of the Mishnah is that everybody is kosher to shecht, but the Lashon HaKol Shechtin sounds like it's coming to be marba. Even someone that you would have thought is not allowed to shecht is allowed to shecht HaKol Shechtin, even l'katchila. U'shchitasan k'shera, again, someone that you would have thought is not allowed to shecht is allowed to shecht, but only shchitasan k'shera b'dieved. And the Gemara brought a machlekes on Meirav, Rabba Barula, Abaya, Rava, Ravashi, two versions of what Ravina said to explain what's the HaKol Shechtin coming to be marba and what's the shchitasan k'shera coming to be marba. Abaya and Rava both said a similar pshat, and that was that HaKol Shechtin u'shchitasan k'shera is discussing the laws of Akuti. Specifically, Akuti, if there's a Yisrael who's watching him shecht, is allowed to shecht the katchila. B'dieved, if Akuti shechted and Yisrael wasn't watching him, it's not going to be okay. But there is a way to be machsheret, and that is if the kuti himself is going to eat from the meat that he shechted, that would be a raya that the shechita was kosher. Because the kutim apparently were careful, they were very nizer when it came to the laws of Nevela. They weren't so nizer when it came to the laws of lifnei iver loisitei michshol, when it came to the laws of being machshol somebody else with during an avera. Thus, if the kuti himself is willing to eat from it, clearly, it's not Nevela. As a result, even though there wasn't a Yisroel Re'eyu at the time that he did the Shechita, it would be okay for us to go ahead now and eat it. Regardless, the way Abaye V'Rava explained the Mishnah, what emerges is two things. Number one, Abaye V'Rava were clearly of the opinion that the Kutim were Geri Emes. So we spoke a little bit about what that means, and we'll get into it in greater detail during the course of this morning's daf. But Abaye V'Rava clearly held the Kutim were Geri Emes. They were Yidden. If they weren't Yidden, it's Pashit, their Shechita would be possible, because an Oved Koychavim is not allowed to Shecht. That's why a Mumar Lavoy Dezara and a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya are possible to Shechita, because they're treated like an Oved Koychavim. An Oved Koychavim, a non-Jew, a guy, his Shechita's Chulin would be possible. So Abaye V'Rava clearly held that the Kutim were Geri Emes. At the same time, Abaye V'Rava also held that the only time a Kuti is allowed to Shecht, if there's a Yisrael Reyeo, if there's a Yisrael Oymed Al Gabov, according to Rava, even if he's only Nichnas V'yaitse, but the point is, there has to be some level of oversight from a Jew in order for the Shechita of the Kuti to be kosher. Stating that, the Gemara says as follows, Amar Reb Chanan, Amar Reb Yaakov Aridi, Amar Reb Shua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kaporo. So Reb Chanan said, I heard from Reb Yaakov Aridi. Who said that he heard from Reb Shua ben Levi? Who heard from Bar Kaporo? That Rabbi Gamliel, the Bezdin of Rabbi Gamliel, which Rabbi Gamliel? There are many Rabbi Gamliels in Shas. Says Rashi, this was Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Nimnu al shechita skuti v'asarua. The Bezdin convened, they got together, and they issued a very important edict. They said that heretofore, the halach is going to be that if a kuti shechts, his shechita is going to be possible. Amalei Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. So Rabbi Zeira heard this from Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. Rabbi Yaakov Aridi was one of the Amiraim in this chain. Rabbi Chanan heard it from Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, who heard it from Rabbi Yishua ben Levi, who heard it from Bar Kapar. So Rabbi Yaakov Aridi is telling this to Rabbi Zeir, that I heard that Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Yehuda Anasi, his bezdin paskin, that the shechita of a kuti is a problem. Meaning, even though Abaye V'Rava said that when the Mishnah says, HaKol Shechtin u'shechitas and k'shera, it's referring to kutim, but heretofore, Rabbi Gamliel's bezdin's paskin, that it's not going to be okay. So he asked him the following question. When you heard Rabbi Gamliel's bezdin paskin, that a kuti shechita is not good, was it only if Yisrael is not there? Or was it even if Yisrael was there? Amalei, so Rabbi Yaakov really told Rabbi Zeira, Domi haimi rabbonu kedoi gemir in shishmaita. You sound like you don't know how to learn. Meaning, you have a havamina? Rabbi Gamliel's bezdin had to go ahead and say that if a kuti shechts and there's no Yisrael watching him, it's not going to be good. B'she'en Yisrael leimed al gabav lememra bai. It's poshet. Avada, it's going to be a problem. That's the Mishnah, the way Abaya and Rava explained it. Meaning, the only time there was ever a havamina that a kuti should be able to shecht chulin is if there's a Yisrael leimid al gabo. So clearly, if Rabbi Gamliel's bezin came and they said a chiddush, they said that the shechit of a kuti is not going to be good anymore. It must be it was talking about even when there's a Yisrael leimid al gabo. Because again, if there's no Yisrael leimid al gabo, it's pasha. It says the Gemara kibla minei or lo kibla minei. So Rabbi Yaakov Riedi was very sharf to Rabbi Zeira. But the Gemara wonders, was Rabbi Zeira makabel what Rabbi Yaakov Riedi said? Meaning, did Rabbi Zeira accept Rabbi Yaakov Riedi's understanding in the sack of Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin, that the only, that they said that Shechitas Kuti is possible even when there's a Yisrael Emid al-Gabav, or did Rabbi Zeira walk away a little bit unsure? And maybe Rabbi Zeira himself thought that even though Rabbi Yaakov was very sharp, but maybe, you know, maybe the only time Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin Paskin that Shechitas Kuti is a problem if there's no Yisrael Emid al-Gabav, essentially they were saying the halach of the Mishnah the way Abai Varov explained the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know what Rabbi Zeira thought about this. So the Gemara says, Toshma. We have a piece of information from another story that happened with Rabbi Zeira. The Amar Rab Nachum bar Yitzchak, Amar Rab Asi. I knew Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Nachum bar Yitzchak said, I heard from Rabbi Asi, who said that he saw Rabbi Yochanan, she'ocham ashchitas kuti. He ate meat from an animal where the sheichet was a kuti. V'af Rabbi Asi, yocham ashchitas kuti. And by the way, FYI, Rabbi Asi himself. Rabbi Asi said he saw it by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Asi himself ate meat from an animal where the sheikh was a kuti. V'toyber, Rabbi Zeir heard about this. And he was very bothered by it. He couldn't understand. And he wasn't sure. He said, Loi shmi'aluhu. Is Pshani Rabbi Yochanan and Ravasi, who were willing to eat from Shechitas Kuti, because they never heard, they weren't aware of the takana of Rabbi Gamliel's Bezin that said that Shechitas Kuti is aser. Rabbi Zeira said to himself, because had Rabbi Yochanan Ravasi known about this Gzeira, having Makabli law, there's no question they would have accepted the Gzeira and they would have never eaten from Shechitas Kuti. I Duma said, Rabbi Zeira, Duma Shmielahu. Maybe they were aware of it. For like Kablu. And at the same time, they just weren't Makabli. It says, Rabbi Zeira said they must have known about the Gzeira and for whatever reason felt that it wasn't true. And that they didn't have to be mekabelit. These all could die to chloi shmiluhu. Because if you're going to tell me the Rabbi Yochanan, we're simply not aware of Rabbi Gamliel's gzeira, and it's for that reason they ate shchutas kuti. Meaning, had they known about it, they wouldn't have eaten it. So it comes out that they ate something that really they weren't supposed to eat. So freaked. How is it possible that the Ashkochot Gefirt, that Rab Yochanan and Rab Asi, two Gedoyli Adar, should eat something that maybe is a question of Achalas Asurois, that maybe they themselves would have never eaten? Hashta, behemtim shal tzadikim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevet HaKol HaYodom, tzadikim atzman, loy kolshkei, madach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, z'nam machshol, the behema of a tzadik. Says Rashi, what does that mean? It's referring to the Chamor Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. The Gemara is going to tell the story in great detail in tomorrow's daf. Hashtag Daf Zayin. And then the Gemara is going to tell a story that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was once traveling and he went to an inn and his chamor was hungry and the chamor refused to eat. They couldn't figure out why doesn't the chamor want to eat from the tfuah that they were feeding the chamor. And finally, the balabayas gave meiser from the wheat and then the chamor was willing to eat from it. So the Gemara says, you see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects even the behemoths of a tzaddik to make sure that it's not nichshol and macholas atzuras. It says the Gemara, hashto behemtin shol tzaddikim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mev takol ha-yodom, tzaddikim atzmo le-kolshke. And so Rav Zeira said, it must be that Rav Asher Rav Yochanan knew about the takana of Rav Gamliel, and they just held it wasn't true. And they felt that no, shchitas kuti, like the Mishnah says, is kosher as long as the Yisrael leimid al-gabav, as long as the Yid is watching. Because if you're going to tell me that really, they would have accepted Rabbi Gamliel's takana. It's just they didn't know about it. Then it comes out they were nichshol. And Rabbi Zeira said it's not possible. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the behemoths of a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly would have protected Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, says the Gemara, going back to the original Shaila, now if you're going to tell me that when Yaakov Aridi told Rabbi Zeira that Rabbi Gamliel's takana was true only if there's no Yisrael Eimed Al Gabov, but if there's a Yisrael Eimed Al Gabov, Rabbi Gamliel never made the takana, meaning the whole takana of Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin, that Shechitas Kuti is Aser, is only if there's no Yisrael watching, but if there's Yisrael watching, it's okay. Then why was Rabbi Zeira so disturbed when he heard that Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Asi ate from Shechitas Kuti? Lishnile, he could have reconciled it very simply. Kankish Yisrael Eimed Al Gabov, Kankish Ein Yisrael Eimed Al Gabov. What was wrong with what Rabbi Yochanan did? Rabbi Yochanan ate from Shechitas Kuti. Maybe when Rabbi Yochanan ate from Shechitas Kuti, it was a Kuti shechting and it was a Yisrael Eimed Al Gabav. It's not in contradiction at all to Rabbi Gamliel's Pesach. Oh, must be when Rabbi Gamliel's Bezin said that Shechitas Kuti is Asura, it was even when there's a Yisrael Eimed Al Gabav. El Olav, Shema Mino, Kibla Mine, Shema Mino. So Rabbi Zeira wasn't sure. He had asked Rabbi Yaakov Aridi to clarify to him exactly exactly what Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin's psak was when they said Shechitas Kuti Zasser. Was it only if there's no Yisrael Lemid Al Gabov, like the Mishnah's halacha, the way Abaye and Rav understood the Mishnah? Or is it even Kishi Yisrael Lemid Al Gabov, which would mean that they're being machmer on top of the Mishnah? Rav Yaakov Aridi told him, of course, they were coming to say even when there's the Yisrael Reyeh. But the Gemara wasn't sure if Rav Zeira accepted it. Says the Gemara, from this next story, it's clear, it's evident that Rav Zeira had accepted what Rav Yaakov Aridi told him. Because if Rav Zeira had not accepted what Rav Yaakov Aridi had told him, meaning in Rav Zeira's mind, Rav Gamliel's psak was only negeya when there's no Yisrael watching the Kuti, then he would have no issue with what Rav Yechon Rav Asi did. Rav Yechon Rav Asi ate from Shechitas Kuti, maybe it was a case when there was a Yisrael Aymed Al Gabov. Either way, says the Gemara, it's clear from the fact that Rav Zeira was so disturbed by what happened with Rav Yechon Rav Asi, to the point that he felt must be they were not accepted of the Zera of Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezdin. It's a raya that Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin must have paskin that Shechitas Kuti is up. Also, even if there's Yisrael watching, if that's the case, it comes out Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin issued a very important psak. Meaning, Kutim Ageri Yemes. And therefore, Medina de Gemara, it's the first words of Masechtas Chulin, the way Abaye and Rava explain the Mishnah. Is Hakol Sheikhtin, a Kuti is allowed a Shecht as long as there's Yisrael Lemid Al Gabov. Stating that Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Yudan Nasi, and his Bezdin issued a very, very important psak. We don't live amongst Kutians today. So it doesn't schmeck from Halacha L'maisa. But you have to appreciate that once upon a time, this was a very, very, very important psak. It had incredible halachic ramifications. So this Bezdin comes now and they paskin that if a Kuti is going to be a Sheikhet, it's a problem. Even if there's a Yisrael watching, the first Halacha Masechtas Chulin is no longer true. There must have been a reason for it. Says the Gemara, my time magaz rubu rabbanon, ki had Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, it's based on the following story. Shadri Rameir lasu yecham. Rameir once sent Reb Shimon ben Elazar to buy wine, mi bekutai, from Kutin. Ashkeche ahu saba. And he met, Reb Shimon ben Elazar did, an altiyid. Amalei, he told him, this old man, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, he quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "V'samto sakim b'loyecha im bal nefesh ata." Literally, "V'samto sakim b'loyecha." You should put a knife on your jaw if you're a bal nefesh. You know what that means. In other words, he was trying to tell him, it was an expression that if you're a bal nefesh, overcome your temptation. I know it's very tempting to buy the wine right now from the Kutin, but I'm telling you, you should be a bal nefesh. It's not something that you're supposed to do. And he understood, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that this Saba was telling him that this wine that he was going to buy was questionable. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar, see, it's wonderful, Reb Meir. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar went back, and he told Reb Meir what happened. The Gazer Aleihem. And when Reb Meir heard that, he followed what he had heard from Reb Shimon Elazar, who heard from this Saba, from this old person, that there's something wrong with the Kutim, and he made a gzera that we're not going to trust the Kutim anymore. My timer, what did the Saba tell him? He must have given him more information. He couldn't have just quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, yeah. He told him as follows. Dmus yoyna matzu lehem b'reish ha-grizen. He told him that he found the dmus of a yoyna, a dove. He saw a getchka, an Avodah Zarah, on Har Grizim. So the Kutim used to live on Har Grizim. Not only did the Kutim live on Har Grizim, that was their primary place of residence, but they actually had a Beis HaMikdash, they had a temple where they used to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Beis HaMikdash was on Har Grizim. The Gemara talks about it in Masechtas Yuma Daf Samech Tesem Aleph. The context is Alexander Mukden, very much a Hanukkah-related thing. So when Alexander the Great came to Eretz Yisrael and he wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so because of the miracle that happened with Shimon HaTzadik, we spoke about it in the Sugya of Beis Chanya in the end of Masechtas Menachos, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends up performing a miracle. Alexander the Great does not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What happens? Alexander the Great realized that the Kutim had set the Jews up. Meaning, why did Alexander the Great want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in the first place? So the Kutim had lobbyists, apparently, in Macedonia and Greece, and they were pushing, they didn't like the Yidden, and they were pushing to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because they wanted their temple, which was on a higher grizim, to be the primary place of worship for Yidden. Alexander the Great does not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, he goes to higher grizim and he destroys their temple. But the Kutim used to live on higher grizim. So this Saba told Rav Shimon ben Elazar that he found the Dmus of a Yoyna, it was on higher grizim. Show you Oivdenai. And the Kutim used to worship it. In other words, the Kutim were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now says the Gemara, even though it was only a miut of the Kutim that used to worship this Yoyna and Har Grizim, but Ramei L'Tamei, this was Rameyer, and Ramei L'Shitasoi, like Aryeh said, at the Siyam, who's Chayesh L'Miyuta, Rameyer's Chayesh L'Miyuta, because of Ruba at the Miyuta. So he knew that even though it was only a miut of the kutim that were Ibdi Avodah Zarah, but he was Geizer Ruba Atu Miyuta. Now he felt that any person who buys wine from a kuti, you have to be concerned that maybe the kuti was an Ibdi Avodah Zarah. He touched the wine. He was Menasik the wine, Avodah Zarah. So now you're dealing with the issues of Yayin Esa, says the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel Beis Din, Nami Grameyer Sfirlu, Rabbi Gamliel and his best, and years later, also held by Grameyer. They were also Chayesh Lemiyuta, and being that they were also Chayesh Lemiyuta, they came and they issued the same exact psak, not in the context of Yayin Nesach, but rather in the context of Shchitas Chulin, that although really Medina the Mishnah, Kol Shoichten, Akutin, is a Ladisha, because Kutim Geri Emes, as long as it's the Yisrael Limit Al Gabov, so you don't have to worry about lifting Yivet Leisita Michshol, a Kuti is a Yid, his Shechita is going to be kosher, but at the same time, now already, we're concerned that the Kutim had Oivdei Avodah Zarah amongst them, with Chayesh Lemiyuta, every Kuti now is a suffix that he might be a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, and what did the Brisa say in Daf Ham and Aleph? That a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, like a Mumer L'Chal Shabbos B'Farhesi, has a din of a guy, his Shechita is not going to be a Kasher Shechita. So before we go more into the story, so the Gemara digresses for a moment, and the Gemara says, Pashte Dekra B'Maiksev. So the Gemara mentioned this pasuk in Mishlei Chav Gimel, V'Samto Sakim B'Loyecha and Bal Nefesh Ati. You should put a knife at your jaw if you're a Bal Nefesh. So what's the Pashup Shan in this pasuk? So the Gemara says a completely different context. It's not talking about Kutim, it's not talking about Yayin Nesech, it's certainly not talking about Shechita Schulim, but rather it's talking about the Talmud Yoshel Fnei Rabbi, it's talking about the Talmud sitting next to his Rabbi Tani, Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, if you look at the Pasuk before that, it says, Ki Seishev Lilchoim Es Moishel Bin Tovin Es Asher Lufonecha. And then the Pasuk that the Gemara had quoted, V'samto Sakim Bilayecha in Bal Nefesh Ata. So the Gemara is not only darshaning that Pasuk, V'samto Sakim Bilayecha in Bal Nefesh Ata, but the Gemara is darshaning the previous pasuk with that pasuk together. What's the drasha? In Yodeya Talmud Barabbi Shodei L'Hachz Leitam, if a Talmud is learning with a Rebbe and he knows that his Rebbe knows how to answer questions, bin, then he should ask questions. Vim lav, tovin, eis asher lefonecha, v'samto sakin b'loyecha, and if not, don't ask. Why? Because you may embarrass your Rebbe. In Bal Nefesh, the Rebbe said, and if you're a Bal Nefesh, pray Shemeno. If you have a Rebbe who can't answer any questions and you start sensing that maybe he's not telling you the emes, then the right thing to do is to leave him and not learn Torah from him at all. Either way, so the Gemara clarified that Rebbe Gamliel in his Bezdin had said that even though historically the Kutim were treated like Geri Emes, thus Abayi V'Rava's Pshat in the beginning of the Mishnah, Hakol Shoichten U'Shechitas and Ksheira, that as long as the Yisrael's Oimid Al Gabav, the Shechita of a Kuti is going to be kosher, but because of what this Saba told Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who reported back to Rav Meir, suddenly there was a concern with Chayesh Lemiyuta that maybe there were Oivdei Avodah Zarah amongst the Kutim, a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah has a din of a guy, we can't trust the Kutim anymore. And that's why if a Kuti touches wine, there's a problem of Yayin Esach. If a Kuti Shech Tzchulin, it's a problem, it's like a guy Shech Tzchulin. And as a result, this is going to be an issue. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yosef, Shadrei Rabavo, Lasu Yechamro. So Rabavo sent Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yosef to get wine, Mibei Kutoi, from the Kutim. Now this is interesting, this is years later. Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin, Rabbi Meir's Bezdin, that was in the Dor of the Tanan. Now we're talking about Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef and Rabbi Avol. This is in the times of the Amiran. So this story repeats itself hundreds of years later. So Yitzchak ben Yosef is a shliach of the great Rabbi Avol. He's going to buy wine from the Kutim. Ashkech Yahu Saba. And again, he meets Ahu Saba. Amale. So he told him, Les kan shayim retire. There's no shayim retire over here. You have no business buying wine. Halach Rabbi Yitzchak sipit varof nei Rabbi Avol. So Rabbi Yitzchak went back and he told Rabbi Avol. He's, Halach Rabbi Avol, v'sipit varof nei Rabbi Ami v'Rabasi. Rabbi Avol went and he repeated what he heard from Rabbi Ami and Rabasi. V'loi zazu misham ad sha'asam ovdei kechavim gemurim. And they went there and they paskin that heretofore, the Kutim are going to be treated like Ovdei Kecham, says the Gemara Lamai. With regards to what Allah, Ilo Shechita v'Yayin Esach, isn't a gay Shechita v'Yayin Esach, Mehasam Gazrabu Rabbanon. Didn't this Gzera happen already? Didn't Rav Meir Paskin that you can't buy wine from a Kuti after the story with Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Ahu Saba? Didn't Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezdin Paskin that you can't trust the Shechita of a Kuti? So why is Rabbi Avo, a few hundred years later, reissuing a psak that had already been made by Gedolim of the previous generation? Says the Gemara, Inu Gazer V'Loi Kiblo Minayo. What happened was, it's true. Rav Meir's Bezdin Paskin that you can't buy wine from a Kuti. Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin Paskin you can't trust the Shechita of a Kuti. But the Gemara didn't tell us the rest of the story. What the Gemara didn't say was that nobody paid attention to the Gzera. It was a very difficult Gzera to take upon yourself, says Rashi. And of course, Rashi means a Gemara Masechtas Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says that if a Bezdin issues a Gzera and the Tzibur doesn't accept the Gzera, the Gzera does not go into effect. It comes into the sugyas of of Cholov Stam and Shemen Akum and Stam Yenam. In the context of those sugis, the Gemara suggests such a theory. And this is a real life place where it played itself out, where the Oilam, the Welt, they did not accept Gzeira, and it's for that reason it wasn't in effect. Also, Rav Ami Rav Asi's Bezin had to go. They had to reissue this Psak. Gazru, they did make the Gzeira, the Kiblu Minayu, and finally, the Yidden took it upon themselves. They were Mekabel this Gzeira. So one last Gemara. My Oivde Kechavim Gemur. What did the Gemara mean when it said that Rav Ami and Rav Asi paskind loizazu micham ad shasom oivdei koychavim gemurim? Oivdei koychavim gemurim sounds like it's coming to be marba something, not only with regards to Yayin Nesach, not only with regards to Shechitas Chulin, but even something else. Om Rav Nachum by Yitzchak levatol rishus v'litein rishus. It's negay the halachas of Mesechta Zeirvim. So we're familiar with an Eruvei Chatzeres. Eruvei Chatzeres is if you have a group of people that live in a cul-de-sac, a development, a bungalow colony, where they share a common area. They share a common chatzar, but the houses are owned individually by the people that live there. So even though midei raisa, you're allowed to carry from your house into the chatzar, from the chatzar into your house, because midei raisa, haitza, means carrying from a rishus hayochid to a rishus harabim, or from a rishus harabim to a rishus hayochid, or dalanamas and a rishus harabim. But a chatzar is a rishus hayochid. It doesn't meet the technical criteria of rishus harabim. It's not so easy to have a rishus harabim midei raisa. But at the same time, being that a chatzar is a common area, and your house is a private area. So if you carry from your house to a chatzar, it looks a little like you're carrying from a rishus hayochid to a rishus harabim, so that although midei reis it's nothing, but midei rabbanon, the chachamim said, make an erev. What's an erev? Everybody chips in, they buy a meal, a box of matzahs, they put it in one person's house. Being that every member of the chatzar owns a little bit of the food that's in one person's house, it's as if they all live in that house. So that now the chatzar is not servicing many houses. It's really servicing one rishos. Thus, the chatzar becomes like a real rishos hayachid. It puts shayach to one house, not all the houses. And somehow, it's all din derabanan, that makes this work. Now, the only way an eruvei chatzeres can work is if every single member of the chatzar is mishtativ. But if you have one person in the chatzar that's not mishtativ, it's a problem. So what happens if Shabbos comes and we realize there was one person who never chipped in? So today you have zachon adam shalei b'fan. But what happens if one person didn't chip in? So the Gemara says, halach is, the person could be mafker his rishos. He could be mevatel his rishos. He could do it even on Shabbos. But even on Shabbos, you have a right to go ahead and be mevatel your rishos, so that now it's as if you're not there anymore. It belongs to everybody else. Everybody else is shayach to this one house. Thus, there's no problem with chatzeres. But Chacham said that's only true if that one person is a yid. For a goy, Chacham said that doesn't work. Goy can't be mevatel's rishos. He can't even give his rishos b'mat. The only way you can make an eruvei chatzeres if there's a non-Jew that's living in the cul-de-sac is if you rent his rishos. You have to be soicher the rishos from the, you have to sit down, you have to write a lease. It has to be a real document, a real transaction. So now it belongs to the yid, and then the yid can go ahead and can be mishtatav. A goy can't be mishtatav in a chatzar, and he can't be mevatel his rishos to the bnei chatzar. The reason simply is because Chacham did not want yidden to live amongst the any yehudim. So simply as a harchaka, just to make it difficult to make an Erev, the Chachamim made a Gzeret, this is Erev in 101, that a non-Jew cannot be Mishtatev in a Eruvei Chatzeres. Says the Gemara, with that long-winded introduction, that's the additional halacha where Rav Ami Rav Asi said, oh, by the way, these Kutim are going to be treated like any Yehudim. Levatol Rishos, the time you learn to the Brayis, Yisrael Mumer, if you have a Yisrael Mumer who's Mishamish about the Bishok, he's a Shomer Shabbos Befar Hesya, meaning he's a Mechal Shabbos, but only Betzino, so he's a Yid, Mevatol Rishos, Venais Rishos. He has a right to be Mevatol Rishos in the context of a Eruvei Chatzeres. But let's say someone is a Yid and he's a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesyo, Eino Mevatel Rishos, V'Noisen Rishos. He does not have a right to be Mevatel his Rishos and Noisen Rishos. Eisha Amru, Yisrael, only a Yid is Noisen Rishos and Mevatel Rishos. But Oive Kechavim Ad She Yisker, he has to rent his Rishos, and a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesyo is always treated like an Oive Kechavim. Thus, he too cannot be Mevatel his Rishos. Keitza, how exactly are you Mevatel your Rishos? Amaloi Rishos. All you have to do is say that my rishus is konu to you and be mevatel my rishus. It's a hefker digger concept. The inoy tzarech liskois. There's no kinyan necessary. That in of itself would be good. The bottom line is where Rav Asi said that the kutim are going to have a din of And men, not only with regards to the laws of Yai Nesech, not only with regards to the halachas of Shechitas Chulin, but also with regards to the halachas of Erevin, specifically Bittul Rishus, as it relates to Eruv Chatzer. So this Gemara that we just learned right now is a very often quoted Gemara. So we mentioned that Chulin Daf Hei is an often quoted Daf. Chulin Daf Hei is the Makar to the idea that a Yid could sometimes be treated like a non-Jew. A mumer l'avei dezara, a mumer l'chal shabbos befarhesya, and halacha is treated like an any Yehudi. What's the makar? So there's several makaris. But really, exhibit A, ground zero for the discussion, is chulin daf hei. Chulin daf vav is also very important. Because chulin daf hei, the Gemara is saying that even though historically the kutim were treated as gerei emes, but at the same time there was a before and after. There was the bezdin of Rabbi Gamliel, there was the bezdin of Rabbi Meir, and then years later the bezdin of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asti, where they all were enforcing the same theme, and that is that even though the kutim historically perhaps were treated like yidin, but at the same time, from here forward, they would be treated like oivdei kechavim gemurim. So a few things. Number one, so the Gemara told an interesting story that seemed to be the background of this gezeira. Meaning, how did the Chachamim know to suddenly be geyser and say that the kutim should be treated like oivdei kechavim? So the Gemara said, really, it was based on two stories. The first story was Rav Shimon ben Elazar was acting as an agent of Rav Meir. He went to buy wine from the kutim. And the Gemara said that he meets a saba. He meets an old man, and the old man told him, he says, no, it's not a good idea. If you're a Baal Nefesh, I would not buy wine from here. Why not? He quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, V'samta sakin b'layecha in Baal Nefesh ata. And then he told him the rest of the story. He said, I found the dmus of a yoina. I found the dmus of a dove, meaning an Avodah Zarah, up here on the mountain. It was on Har Gerizim. Clearly, there are some kutim over here that worship Avodah Zarah. And because they're kutim that worship Avodah Zarah, I'm chayish l'miyuta. Every single kutim right now may be an Oved Avodah Zarah. If he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, you can't trust his wine. So where exactly, well, what exactly was this Avodah Zarah? So Tosfos over here says, the second Tosfos on the Amid, that this Avodah Zarah actually has a source in a pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Vayishlach, right after Shimon and Levi wipe out Shechem. So the pasuk says, "Vayoyimer Elikim El Yaakov, Kum Alei Beisel." The Shev Shah, Shem comes to Yaakov Avinu and says, "I want you to leave this area, leave Shechem. I want you to go to Beisel." Vasei Shem Mizbeach Lokel Hanire Elecha. And I want you to build a mizbeach. So Yaakov turns to his family and he says, "Chevra, we're leaving. Hashem came to me, I had a nevuah, he wants us to leave. We're going to Beisel, we're going to build a mizbeach." Okay, you have to pack your bags. So listen to what Yaakov Avinu tells his family. If you never noticed this pasuk, it's hard to read. Vayoymer Yaakov al Beisai, vel kol ashli, hasiru es alihea necher asher besoichachem, I want you to get rid of all your avodah zarah. Vihitaru, go into the mikvah, v'achlifu simloi seichem, and I want you to change your clothing. V'nakumu v'nalo besa, and we're going to go to besa. V'esa sham mizbeach, and we're going to build a mizbeach over there. L'keil ha'koyna oisi b'yom tzorosi, v'yi imadi baderech asher holachti. So he tells them, listen, we're leaving, but before we leave, we're not taking everything. We're going to leave the avodah zarah behind. We have to purify ourselves. We're going to build a mizbeach now. You can't build a mizbeach in a state of tumah. We have to change our clothing. We can't use the clothing that we... What does this mean? Vayitnu el Yaakov es kol aleihei anechar asher b'yadam. So Yaakov's family takes their parshas Vayishlach, takes their avodah zarah and hands it over to Yaakov. Ve'es hanizomim asher bazneim. They take off their jewelry. Vayitmoin oisam Yaakov. Yaakov hid them tachas ho'elo, underneath the tree asher im Shechem, which was in Shechem. So, and then they travel, etc., etc. Says Devin Ezra, Yaakov Avinu turns to his family and he tells him, Hasiru es alehei anechar, chalila chalila, sheyishkav hanavi im oivdes alehei anechar. Says Devin Ezra, Pashup Shana, the Pasuk sounds like the Yaakov Avinu, the shift they cut, we're living with Avodah Zarah. It's not possible. Chalila chalila sheyishkav hanavi im oivdes alehei anechar, says Devin Ezra. So what does the Pasuk mean? So he tells us a riddle. Uperushoi timtso enu, but not when you're 33, but be parshas vayelach moisha. You're going to have to go to parshas vayelach, dvar and periklam and alav pasuk tezayin, and over there you're going to know the pisroin to this chida of what exactly the hasiru es alehei hanechar is. But the truth is, if you take a look at Rashi was megalah to us, a pashup shan in the pasuk. The context over here is right after Shimon and Levi destroyed Shechem. And when they destroyed Shechem, they took the shalol of Shechem. They took all They took the spoils. And one of the things they took was the Avodah Zarah. So Zok Rashi, Vayomer Yaakov el Beisoy v'eskol asher imoy hasiru es Elohei hanecha asher besoichichem. Zok Rashi, sheyesh biyetchem mishalshchem. What he was talking about was the Avodah Zarah. They had to, of course they didn't have Avodah Zarah. But they had just taken Avodah Zarah. It's all sitting in the house. What do we do with this? And Yaakov says, we're not taking it. The Avodah Zarah is going to stay here. We're going to pack our bags. And we're going to Beisel. We have a Mizbeach to build. We're going to follow the Tzibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either way, what did Yaakov do with the Avodah Zarah? Says the Pasuk, Vayitmoin Oysam Yaakov. Yaakov hid them. Taches Ha'elo. Says, Toisvis, you know where that tree was? It was on Har Grizim. And the Saba said that I know that the Kutim had uncovered that Avodah Zarah that goes back to Parshas Vayishlach. This is the Avodah Zarah of the real Shechem. Shechem as in Shechem that was killed by Shimon and Levi. And they worshipped this Avodah Zarah. Apparently it was Bidmus Yoina. Regardless, that's the rest of the story, says Tosfos. Now, the Gemara mentions that who told this Rabbi Shimon al-Azhar? It was a Saba. It was an old man. Says Tosfos, the first Tosfos on the Yom. Yesh Mefarshim. The Chol Mokim Shehu Maskir Ahu Saba. That every single time you find Ahu Saba, Hu Eliyo. It's referring to Eliyahu Hanavi. And the Tosfos has a little bit of a problem with it, based on a Gemara in Perek by Mehmed Likin. But either way, says Tosfos, that every single time in Shas, you find Ahu Saba, this wasn't just an old man. But this is referring to none other than Eliyahu Zachal HaTayf. If you're familiar with the story of Ilfa, Masechet Tainis Daf Chaf Alfam in Aleph, so the Gemara says that when Ilfa comes back to Beis Medrash, so he suspended himself on the mast of a ship. He said, if there's anyone that can ask me a question on a Braisa, and I can't be pushing from a, where's the teleprompter? From a Mishnah. It says, I'm willing to drown in the sea. So the Gemara says it was a Husaba. There was an old man. Now you know the rest of the story. It was Eliyahu Hanavi. Apparently Eliyahu Hanavi was coming to enforce Ilfa's greatness. You see, Ilfa was Zeicha to Gili Eliyahu. But regardless, Ahu Saba was none other than Eliyahu Hanavi. So Eliyahu Hanavi is the one that's being Megala. So the truth is, at first glance, you have to ask yourself a question, right? Let's just learn this Tosfos together. Uh-huh. So Ahu Saba is Eliyahu Hanavi. So this whole idea that the Kutim were questionable is based on Gili Eliyahu. Now we know that Torah is Leib HaShamayim here. That if Eliyahu Hanavi comes to somebody and he tells him, I'm telling you, in Shemayim, the halach is like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. Or like Rebbe Eliezer Shamuti, right? Even though there were baskels all over the place saying that Rebbe Eliezer was right in the famous story of Tan Rach Noi. But we know Torah is like Beis Shammai. So how could this all be based on a Gili Eliyahu? L'chura, Ahu Saba, he was the one that revealed it to us? Gili Eliyahu? Torah Leib HaShamayim. That's one of the most important tenets of Torah. The Chassam Sofer in his famous tshuva to Rabbi Tzvi Hirschayis in Erechaim Simen Reish Ches, he tells Rabbi Tzvi Hirschayis that our entire religion is based on this idea of Torah Leib HaShamayim. Because if you're going to start trusting Giluyim, then how do you know a person is not going to come? He's going to say he had a dream and Hashem said, which by the way, says the Chassam Sofer, has happened in history, unfortunately. And many tsaris came because of dreams that people claim they had. So we don't accept these things. We don't base our Torah on Gilu Eliyahu. So L'chura, if Torah is Leib HaShamayim, how could this whole halach of Kutim be predicated on it? But the Torah is very simple. Torah Leib HaShamayim, he means that if Eliyahu Hanavi would come in, he would say that even though, you know, we put on tefillin, but from now on, we don't. No, that's Torah Leib HaShamayim. Eliyahu Hanavi can't be Megala a halacha to us. Al zen nemar Torah Leib HaShamayim. But Eliyahu Hanavi wasn't being Megala halacha. What Eliyahu Hanavi was doing is he was being Megala Metzius. He came in, he said, I just want you to know. He gave us inside information, things that we would have no way of knowing. So as an inside source, this was just good intelligence. He said, I want you to know what's going up on the mountain. They uncovered the Avodah Zarah of Parshas Vayishlach, the Dmus Yoina, that Avodah Zarah that belonged to Shechem, the Yaakov Avinu had hid, that the Shvatim they left behind because they were told the Nala to take it along with them. And they're worshipping it. And it's only a mute, but we're Chayish Lamiyuta, and it's for that reason, he said, I'm telling you that this is something that we have to worry about regardless, the rest of the story is the Saba was Eliyahu Hanavi, and the Avodah Zarah was the Avodah Zarah of Yaakov Avinu, and it was because of this Giloy that Eliyahu Hanavi told Rav Shimon Elazar, he reported back to Rav Meir, that Rav Meir is Bezdin, and then later Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Yudan Nasi is Bezdin, and years later Rabbi Abbas is Bezdin, they went ahead and they paskin that the Kutim are going to be treated like non-Jews. And again, this is a very important Gemara. The reason it's very important Gemara is because Kutim come up throughout Shas. Throughout Shas you find the concept of Kutim. So let's take a step back, and even though we've spoken about this many times, but this is really the place to go through it a little bit properly. And that is, so who were the Kutim? So the story of the Kutim begins with a king known as Shalmaneser. He was the king of Asher, also known as Assyria, Assyra. Assyria was one of the more important lands in ancient times. Nineveh was the capital of Asher. So, Bohu Ha'ov de Me'eretz Asher, it's the city of Assyria. Nineveh, as in the story of Yonah, was the capital of Asher. Regardless, so the king of Asher comes and he lays siege on Eretz Yisrael and he takes many Jews with him into exile. Took the Aseres HaShvatim. And after he took the Aseres HaShvatim into Galus, there was a tremendous vacuum in Eretz Yisrael. And he didn't think that was a good thing. So he decided that he's going to transplant people from different parts of the world. He's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, populate the land. He took people from here. He took people from there. Many of the people were from a place called Kuta. Kuta is Be'erech, where Iraq is right now. And because so many of the people were from Kuta, that entire group of people became known as Kutim. These were non-Jews. They weren't Yidden. They come to Eretz Yisrael, the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Aseres HaShvatim had primarily lived. And they start doing what they do. They're non-Jews. They're Oiv Avodah Zarah. They do all these terrible things. Eretz Yisrael can't be Soivel Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent lions. And these lions started eating people up. And they realized that it's probably because of the fact that they're on a holy land, they're on the land of the Jews, and they're not behaving like Jews. So they thought to themselves that maybe if we're going to go and we're going to convert to Judaism, that's going to somehow stop this terrible magefa, this terrible thing that's happening to them. The Kachava, they got together, and as a group, they all converted to Judaism. And they became Yidden. And there was a tremendous tumult many years later amongst the Tanakh. Was this a real Geirus? Or was it not a real Geirus? There were those that held that the Kutim were Geirim. It was a real Geirus. It was prompted by a terrible Gzeira. Okay, they had one of these life-changing outer experiences that caused them to be Makir the Emes. But at the end of the day, they were Geirim Emes. This was a very, very real conversion. There were others that held, no, it was never a sincere conversion. They worried about the lions. They did it at gunpoint. They did a Machmas Yira. And if someone's Megayir Machmas Yira because of any alternative reason, if it doesn't come from a real place, they're not real Geirim. In other words, these Kutim, who now for hundreds of years were living amongst the Jews, and, you know, ostensibly they were living like regular from Yidden. Are they Yidden or are they not Yidden? Tremendous machlokes, one of the most important machlokes tanan in the entire Talmud Bavli. There were those that held that they were Geri Emes. There were others that held they were Geri Arayis. And that's why throughout Shas, whenever you find the word Kuti come up, so you have to know the history, but you also have to ask yourself, are we going according to the mandama that holds Kutim Geri Emes? Or are we going according to the mandama that holds Kuti Geri Arayis? And we don't have to look any more than Chulin Dapei. Abai Verovah said when the mission says, Akol Sheikhtin, it means Kuti, as long as it's Yisrael and Gadlov, because Abai Verovah held Kutim Geri Emes. But Rabbi Bar Ula didn't want to learn the Mishnah that way, and Rav Ashi and Ravina didn't want to learn the Mishnah that way. Why not? Because they held that Kutim Geri Arayis. So Abai Verovah, who are synonymous with Shas, and Ravina and Rav Ashi, who are synonymous with Shas, right? Incidentally, Ayin Tosfos Chulin Daf Beis Amud Beis, where Tosfos discusses whenever you find Stam Shas, right? Stam doesn't mention anybody. We don't know. Stam Mishnas Remeir. Stam Shas. Tell me about Ibay Elohu. Who's talking? Who's Ibay Elohu? Is it Ravina Rav Ashi? Tosfos says could be it's Abaye and Rav. Very interesting Tosfos Chulin Daf Beis Amud Beis from all places. But regardless, you have Abaye Verava, Havayis Abaye Verava, and you have Ravina Rav Ashi. Abaye Verava held they were Geri Emes. Ravina Rav Ashi held they were Geri Arayis. And every single sugi you have to ask yourself, are we going according to the Mandamah that were Geri Emes? Or are we going according to the Mandamah that holds they were Geri Arayis? But regardless, that was only up to Chulin Daf Vav. There was a point in history, there was an inflection point where everything changed. Where Amir and his Bezdin, but nobody was Makabalit. And then Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezdin, people still weren't Makabalit. And then finally Rav Ami Rav Asi's Bezdin. And Klai Yisrael embraced the idea that even though Kutim Geri Emes, according to some, and that's Talacha, Kutim Geri Emes, but at the same time, there's a before and after. Heretofore, because of this story with Eliyahu Navi and the Yoina, etc., Mikanu Lahaba, the Kutim will no longer be treated as Geri Emes, but rather, they're going to be treated as non-Jews. Stating that, the Mechaber in Evin HaEzer, Simin Memdalet, so this is in Hichas Kedushin, says the Mechaber, Kuti Shekidesh, a Kuti today. So you're a Kuthian. By the way, there still are Kuthians today. They're known as Samaritans. They still live on Har Gerizim. And National Geographic, about 30 years ago, did a cover story on the Samaritans. Ayin Sham. Or maybe not Ayin Sham. But either way, Kuti Shekidesh. Tzricha Mimenu Get. So what happens if a Kuti is Mekadesh and Isha? Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael under the Chuppah Edi Kedushin. You have a Mesad Kedushin. The whole 9 yards. So is the Kedushin Chal or is the Kedushin not Chal? A non-Jew, an Akum, that's Mekadesh. Of course, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. What about a Kuti? Says the Mechaber, Kuti Shekidesh, Tzricha Mimenu Get. The halacha is that she needs a get. Why does she need a get? Says the Vilna Goyen in his Bir Hagra. Because we paskin that kutim are geri emes. Being that the geri emes, they yidin. So if they yidin, you have to be chayish al kedushin. The alpha gafter amrinim bechulin sham. That's some kakim gemurim. That even though the Gemara says that the chachamim went ahead and they said that the kutim should be treated like akim gemurim. Hainu she'en emonim al iser. Look, that just means that we don't trust them anymore. And being that we don't trust them anymore, therefore we have to be worried about the yayin nesach. Maybe they're even. We have to be worried about the shechita. Maybe they're not concerned about nevelos. Avol hafkir kedushin. But to say that they're not yidden, and if them the kaddish and isha, their kedushin is not going to be a kedushin. Of course not. Like garam misharger shechazal lisuroi. They were geri emes. They yidden. They have yiddish blood. No different than any other ger. And as a result, we have to treat them like a yid who was chazal lisuroi, who unfortunately left the yiddish avay, but who's a yid. And being that he's a yid, you have to be chayish for his kedushin. Azoy zok tevil negoyin, and that's the pashas and the poiskim. In other words, just to put it in different words, the yisoid of the kutim being treated like non-Jews is no different than what? A yid, that's a mumal avay dazar. Why did we treat the kutim like non-Jews? Because they realized that they were avay dazar. It was only a miut, rameyus chayish lamiyuta. But the point is that it's related to the fact that they were avay dazar. A yid was a mumal avay dazar. So we learned the Gemara, Daf Hey, where the Gemara says a mumal avay dazar is a guy. The Rambam's lashon and the Hilchos Shabbos is scary. A mechal Shabbos mefarhesia, a mumal avay dazar, we don't treat him like a yid. Let's say that mumal avay dazar is mekadosh anisha. Is the kedushin chal? She's not an Eishes Ish, that's it, she can get married to somebody else. Of course not, of course the Kedushin is Chal. It just means that with regards to many, many halachas, L'chumra, it's always going to be L'chumra, we're going to treat him like an Akum. But L'kuli, you're never going to treat him like an Akum. Of course the halach is going to be at the end of the day, they have to be Chayish for his Kedushin. So the Kuti is like a Mumu Lavei Duzara. At the end of the day, his Shechit is not a Shechit, Yayin a Yayin Nesach, even with regards to the laws of Erevin. But you can tell me he's not, of course he's a Yid. Because Kutim Geri Emes, that's what we baskin. I mean that Kutim Geri Emes, the Chum had no ability to change that. So it's like a Ger, who was Chazal Esura, he says the Vilna Goyen, of course his Kedushin is going to be a Kedushin. Stating that, there's a Rambam Sheba. The Rambam in his Pirish Mishnayis to Masechtes Nida says, an unbelievable Chiddush. The context over there is the Halach of Ksamen in Hilchas Nida, and the Kesem of a non-Jew is Tahar. Says the Rambam, the Ksamim of the Kutim are Tahar. And even though Kutim Geri Emes, but the Gemara says, Chulim Davov, Asu Ka'akim L'chol Davov. And then the Rambam says even a bigger Chiddush. That what happens if a Kuti dies, and he's in a room, and there's a Yid that walks into the same oil where this vase is, where the Kuti is. The Kuti is not going to be Metama Tumas oil. Because Adam Kiyamas Bikam, Atam Kriyam Adam, then if they can chavim kriyin adam, and it's for that reason a kuti is a guy, he's not metame tumas oil. And freit the Tosfos Yontif in his pirush on Masechtes Nida, perik zayin mishnah dalid. What's posh pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam's understanding somehow that the chachamim went and they said that even though the kutim historically were geri emes, because that's what we paskin like Abayi v'Rava, not like Ravina Ravashi, but at the same time somehow the chum had a right to change their status. The Gemara in Chulin says that Taisi Zantiv means like the Vilna Goyen, explain the Mechaber. It just means L'chumra. We treat them like a Mumal Avay Dezara. And just like a Mumal Avay Dezara, Shechit is not a Shechita, Yein a Yayin Esach, so to the Kuti is going to be the same thing. But a Mumal Avay Dezara, that's Mekadosh and Isha, of course, Yechayish Fiz Kedushin, because at the end of the day, he's a Yid. He's like a Ger that was... He's a yid. So the kutim geri emes means that they're yidin. Now you want to treat them like a mumal avay dezara. It's no worse than a ger that's chazal asuray. That his kedushin is going to be a kedushin. In the Rambam's bavur, not that way. In the Rambam it's bavur, the Rambam held. The pshan in this gemara chulun davav was that we're not going to treat them like yidin anymore. And tzorachian, as they blight the Taishas Yontif, he does not understand posh pshan in the Rambam. The Chassam Sofer in his... The Chassam Sofer, and this is not in Chuvis, it's not in his Drashis, it's not in Teres Moshe, it's not in Chetuchi Chassam Sofer Allah Torah, it's not Mipi Yashmua. This is actually in the Chassam Sofer's Pirush on Shulchan Aruch. And in his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, Erechaim Simon Lamed Tes, the context over there is a Kuti writing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzas. But what we need is, says the Chassam Sofer brings the Rambam Shita, and he brings the Tosfos Yontif's Kasha on the Rambam. That Tosfos Yontif said, how could the Rambam say that he's a guy, even Lekula, Lechura, how's it possible such a thing? Says the Chassam Sofer, we know the halacha is hefker bezdin hefker. What does that mean? If bezdin wants, they can go and confiscate it, a yid's property. And the Gemara in Masechta is getting daf lamed zayin amabez, and different places in Shas brings two makairis how it is we know that hefker bezdin hefker. One of them is from a pasuk in Sefer Ezra, Perek Yud. Ezra comes to Eretz Yisrael, again, the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and he sees that the yidden are not shomer Torah mitzvahs. They're married to non-Jews, they're not keeping Shabbos. It's very terrible. Ezra says that we have to be mechazik. He says, called Kaira, Pashkevillin. They set a date. Everybody's going to have to come to the town square. We're going to have to address the spiritual status, state of the union of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. Said Ezra, this is what the Pashkevillin read. Whoever doesn't show up and doesn't come to the town square in 3 days, the whole Mayetzah signed on this, Yocharam kol ruchushai, all their possessions are going to be confiscated. And he is going to be separated from the Kalaga. Says the Gemara in Gittin, and again in other places in Shas as well, this pasuk is the Makar to Hefker Bez and Hefker. Because what did Ezra say? Ezra said, whoever's not going to show up in 3 days, Yochram kol ruchushai. This is not an empty threat. This is real. We're going to take away all your property. In other words, Bezdin has a right to confiscate the property of a Yid. Oh, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. This is the Makarta. Says the Chassam Sofer, if this pasuk was real, so real, that the Chachamim learned the halacha gedoyla, halacha that permeates the entire Shas, and that is Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, and we have to finish the pasuk. What did the Kol Koira say? V'chol asher lo yaveh l'shleishes hayomim katzas asorim v'askeinim yechrom kol ruchushoy v'hu yibodem mikal ha-goyla. He's not going to be treated as a Yid anymore. He's not going to be treated as a Yid. Where does Bezdin have a right to say that a Yid is not going to be treated as a Yid? Yibodem mikal ha-goyla. We're going to make you a goy. I mean, that's the biggest threat of all. Right? You're done. You don't count as a minion. We're not going to... Your Kedushin's not even a Kedushin. We don't trust you anymore. Zok the Chsam Soifa. You know what you see from here? That Bezdin has a right to do that. Unbelievable. You see, Bezdin has a koyach to be Nimnu v'gavru and say that even though you're a Yid, ha, joke's on you. You're not a Yid anymore. Zok the Chsam Soifa. That's the beer in the Rambam Shita. The Rambam understood Chulin Davavav and Aleph. It wasn't just that Ahu Saba was Megala that the Kutim had in their midst over the Avodah Zarah. Thus, we're going to treat them like a Mumal Avodah Zarah, which is just the Chumrah that we can't trust his Shechita, his Yayin, his Yayin. No, it was much more than that. You know what it was? It was this pasuk right here. The Hu Yibadel Mikal HaGoyla. They decided they're not Yidin anymore. They're not Yidin L'Chumrah, they're not Yidin L'Kula. So we don't trust their Shechita, Yayin, Yayin, Esach, but also L'Kula. They're not Metame Tumas Oil, they're not Metame Tumas Ksomim. An unbelievable Chiddush. Chacham Sofer says that if you want a mucker to this, let's take a look at Avodah Zarah, that Beis Amid Beis, where the Gemara Vadir says, the Gemara many places, Gemara Bava Kama as well, Rav Yatir Goyen, the Gemara says, Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Zayim Mitzvah Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noich V'leikaimum, Kivin Shaleikaimum, Amid V'etiram. He was matter it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matter on some level, the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noich. There's precedence for this. What do you mean? Ben Noich is obligated to keep Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noich. Not anymore. Not anymore. Rav Yatir Goyen. He saw that they were negligent in it. And by a person being negligent in Torah mitzvahs, he could actually lose his relationship to the Torah mitzvah. Says the Chassam Sofer, Ayin Abigazar, Daf Beis and Beis, Ayin Ezra, Perek Yod. But either way, that is the route. So we have a very, very important machlekes, Rishayim, how exactly to walk away from this Gemara. Most Rishayim, and that's the halacha in Ebene Ezer, Hilchis Kedushin, Simen Memdala, the way the Vilna Goyin is, Bir Akgra explains the Gemara, is that of course the Chabam never said that the Kutim are Goyim Gemurim. How could they say that? A Kuti, being that we Paskin, historically were Geri Yemeth, the old they were Geri Arayas, yeah, there's a moot point. But if you hold the Kutim are Geri Yemeth, they were Yidden, and they're always going to be Yidden. If the Kuti today, he's still a Yid. He's a Ger that was Chazal Asurai, but he's a Mumalavay Dezara. Mumalavay Dezara. Can't trust the Shechita, etc., etc. But L'chumra, at the same time, you have to treat him like a Yid. If he's Mekadosh and Isha, she's going to have a din of an Isha. The Rambam held not that way. The Rambam held that they had a din of Goyim Gemurim, Bein L'chumra, Bein L'kula. How in the world did Chacham have a right to? Rav Gamliel's Bezdin, Rav Ami Ravasi's Bezdin, Rav Meir's Bezdin, says the Hilik Chassam Sofer, Nere Chaim, in his Pirush and Shulchan Aruch, Simel Amites. It's based on this idea in Sefer Ezra Perek Yod. Either way, we have a daf to learn. Says the Gemara, Rav Zeira v'Rav Asi. So we mentioned earlier, very briefly, and this is going to segue into tomorrow's daf. We'll try to talk on 1.5 speed. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara says that Rav Zeira and Rav Asi. Oh, so we mentioned the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not machshel et tzaddik when it comes to Macholas Asura. Right? So much so, the Rav Zeira saw Rav Yoichan and Rav Asi eating from Shechitas Kuti, and he was so taken aback by that, because didn't Rav Yoichan know about the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezin, that Shechitas Kuti is Asura, and Hashto Behemtim Shal Tzadikim, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Yodam, Tzadikim Atzmon LeKolshkein. So on that note, the Gemara tells another story, and interestingly, again, involving Rav Zeira and Rav Asi. So Rav Zeira and Rav Asi iklu lepundika. So they were in a pundik. They were in an inn, the Ya'oi, in the city of Ya'oi. Aisul Kamayo, Beitzim Amtsum Makoy. So they were sitting down, eating breakfast, and they ate eggs that had wine mixed in them. Rav Zeira lo yachal. Rav Zeira didn't want to eat. Rav Asi yachal. Rav Asi. Amalei Rav Zeira Rav Asi. So Rav Zeira told Rav Asi, "How are you eating it? V'leichayish mal taruvas demai. You don't know the owner of this inn. Presumably, the owner is an Am Haaretz, and we know that the Am Haaretz were chashud on maestros. They weren't chashud on truma, but they were chashud on maestros. And it's for that reason the halach is that if somebody buys maeser from an Am Haaretz, he has to be concerned that maybe it's tevel, thus he has to give maeser before he eats from it. If that tfuah that a person buys from Am Haaretz is known as demai, demai is only an issa d'rabbanan. The reason it's only an issa d'rabbanan is because the chachamim say batku, the yidden were boydek, they did a census, a survey, and they found out that roiv Am Haaretz were really maasa. It was only a few of miut that weren't, and we're chayish lemiuta on a d'rabbanan level. And for that reason, if somebody buys tfuah, anything that has a chi of chumas of maestras from a guy, he now has to give maestra midrabanan. If not, he was over the isra of the mai. So Rav Zeira turns to Rav Asi and told Rav Asi, "How are you eating breakfast? Don't you see there's wine in the eggs? Wine comes from grapes. You have to give maestra on grapes midairaisa. So how could you eat it? It's from an amaret. How do you know if he gave maestra or not?" So he told him, "Amalei, lavatato. You know what? I didn't realize. I'm Rav Zeira." So Rav Zeira couldn't believe it again. It's the same Rav Zeira. He couldn't believe how Rabbi Yochanan was here. Right? He was very bothered by it. He said, "Efshe gazral taroyves demai umistayin milsi Rav Asi lemechal yisura." Is it possible that it's usher to eat something that has in it a taruvas of demai? And Rav Asi, by mistake, would have been nichshol. Hashta behemtin shal tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu meivet hakol hayadam. Tzadikim asmalei kol shkein. The Gemara says nafik Rav Zeira dok v'ashkas. It's a beautiful story. Right, you hear what happened? So Rav Zeira said, it's not possible. It's not possible that the great Rav Asi was nichshol machalos hasuris. Must be what Rav Asi did wasn't wrong. How could it be? He ate demai. Teretz is, this wasn't regular demai. It was taruvas demai. It was food that had in it a little bit of demai. Maybe there's a difference, Rav Zeira said, between eating demai, drinking a glass of wine that's demai, versus eating eggs where one of its ingredients is demai. And Rav Zeira was so sure that that must be the case, so the Gemara says, nafak, he went out, dok v'ashkach, he said, I'm going to find the source, I'm going to prove that Rav Asi did nothing wrong. So the Gemara says he found it. It's a mishnah, kech, yayin l'sleich, if somebody buys wine from an Am Haaretz, and the reason he bought it was to use as an ingredient in his Murias. Murias is fish brine, featured prominently in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Some other beverage back in the day. Karshinim, or he bought karshinim, that's a type of plant, lasis mehem techinim. Adashim, he bought lentils, lasis mehem resisin. So the halach is chay mishum demai. He has to give demai. He's buying things that are chayv and maisis. If you buy from an Am Haaretz, so now you have to give not maisim midei raisa, but midei rabbanan. There's an issue of that. Ein tzarach lemi mishum vadeh. Certainly, if you buy tfuah, any one of the aforementioned things, and you know for sure that there was no maisis given from it, then certainly that loch is you would have to give maisis. Vehein atzman mutarin. But let's say you don't buy the wine from the Am Haaretz. You buy the Murias that already has the wine in it. Or you buy the Aluntis that already has the wine in it. Then the halach is, you don't have to give Meister. You know why? Mipnei she'ein taroivis. Because it's a taroivis. V'loi gazra la taroivis. Oh, so Rav Zeira said, it's gavaldic. I thought Rav Asi was doing something wrong. Because here he's being nichshol in the yayin that's mixed together with the eggs. Nafak dok v'ashkach, he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have never brought, even though Rav Asi didn't seem to know this, and Rav Zeira didn't seem to know this, but after the fact, Rav Zeira looked into it and he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have never allowed Rav Asi to eat these eggs had there been an issue. Why wasn't there an issue? Isn't there demai? Yeah, there's demai, but the demai is in a taruvis, and being that the demai is in a taruvis, there's not going to be an issue. The Gemara says, like Gazra taruvis, demai, is that true? There's no way when it comes to the taruvis, demai v'tan, we learned in the Mishnah, noisim l'shchentoi isa lefois. Somebody has a neighbor, and he goes over to her. Shchentoi is in loshen ekeva. So he goes over to his neighbor, and he gives her dough, and he says, would you mind baking me this cake, baking this challah for me? Okay, there, lavashol. He gives her a pot, and he says, will you please cook it for me? Now, she was the wife of an Am Haaretz. He's a chaver. He's someone that obviously keeps the halachas of trumas and maestras, but this woman was not. And now he gives her his food. Would you please cook it for me? Here's the question. You have to be worried now that maybe she replaced your ingredients with her ingredients. Your ingredients, you already gave trumas and maestras. She is the wife of an Amoritz, she's not so careful. So anything you take from her, there's a shayla of demai. So you have to be worried that maybe she swapped out the ingredients, and as a result, you're eating demai. Thus, you would have to go now and give Trumas and Maestras. So that's this Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, you don't have to. Einoi choshesh. If this is a Shemitah, you don't have to worry that maybe there's ingredients of Shemitah. For like Mishnah Maestras, you don't have to worry about Maestras. What happens if he goes over to her and he says, clearly, can you please make me bake me a cake, or make a kedera with meat, and I want you to use your ingredients? Oh, then obviously it's a problem. But what do you see from here? You see from here that if he told her, use your ingredients, you have to be worried. What do you have to be worried about? Shvias and Meiser. We're interested in the Meiser part of the Mishnah. Why do you have to worry about Meiser? Because you're afraid that some of the ingredients in the meat, you don't have to give Meiser on meat, but you're worried that some of the spices maybe comes from something that is a chiyuv of Trumas and Meisers. Those ingredients are mixed together with the meat. It's going to be a taruvus of demai. I thought the chamor and guys around taruvus demai. So you see, clearly there were guys around taruvus demai. So the Gemara gives two taruvus. One taruvus, the Gemara says, Shani Hasan, the kibim to kamal asid mishalachi, being that the man told this woman, would you please make the food for me, command the Arabi Adayin Nomi. Says Rashi, she's acting as a shliach. So when she puts the spices into the food, it's as if he put the spices into the food. If I myself put the spices into the food, that means the demai is chal before it's in a taruvos. It's for that reason it's going to be a problem. Rafra ma marashani, serve a tavlin, dilataima of it. It's not true every taruvos you say, the aloch is that the demai is bottle. It has to conform on some levels to the laws of Bickle. So there are certain things that we could say that if they're in a taruvus, apparently the wine in the eggs, the wine was very much bottled to the eggs. But spices would not be bottled to food ever. Just like in the laws of Isser the Heter, the laws of Taruvah, Basav Echolot, spices are never bottled. As it relates to this halacha as well, it's true. If you have demai in a taruvah, the halacha is the demai would be bottled. But again, it has to conform on some level to the laws of Bittel. This didn't conform to the laws of Bittel, being that it's something that gives time. There's no way for it to be bottled. Therefore, here it was different, but the Gemara says, "Ul chalufe loy chashinan." So we mentioned this brisa, where the brisa says somebody goes over to his neighbor and says, "Will you please bake me a cake? Will you make some food for me?" As if he provides the ingredients, no worries. If she provides the ingredients, then already it's going to be an issue. But in the ratio, when you're providing the ingredients, not a problem. Why is it a problem? Why are you concerned that maybe she's going to switch the ingredients? Instead of using your pepper, she's going to use her own pepper. So the Gemara says, no, l'chalufe, l'chashina. We're not worried that she's going to switch it. The Gemara says, that's true, but time we do to the Mishnah. If somebody goes over to his shviger and he says, will you please make me some food? So the halach is, you can't trust her. Ma'aser eshu, noisin lo, v'eshu noitali mana. That's the short answer. The extent version? Oh, so you have to give Maisa before you give her the ingredients, obviously. You have to give Maisa. But not just that, if she's an Eshes Am Ha'aretz, then you would have to give Maisa again after you take it from her. Because we're worried that maybe the food went bad after she cooked it, and she feels bad, so she's going to switch it out. So you see that there's a concern that she would use her own ingredient, even though you provided her with the ingredient. If something goes wrong, she may switch it and, you know, bake it again or cook it again using her own ingredients this time. So you see, there is a chash. So why you let it give it to your neighbor and not give it to your shviger? So the Gemara says very simple. Because there, it's your shviger. And you're married to your shviger's daughter. And your children are your shviger's enekloch. Oh, so even if maybe she's not looking out for you, but she's looking out for the family, right? So as a result, she's definitely going to take care of you. So if, let's say, she cooks this food and then something happens to it, so she's going to feel bad. So she's going to want to replace it. How's she going to replace it? Using her own ingredients. But if you give something to your neighbor, she cooks it and then it goes bad. She overcooks it. I don't know if she's going to switch it out. L'chalufi, in that context, l'chashim. The Gemara says, is that true? Ula alma l'chashim. By the time we learn to the Mishnah, ha'noisein l'pundikis shaloi. If somebody was a yeshiva man, the Gemara is going to say in a minute. So we're not talking about a regular person. We're talking about a benteira. And he's staying in a pundikis. He's staying in an inn. And he asks the balabusta, would you please make me some food? And he gives his own ingredients. So the halacha is, ma'aser eshu noisin lo. He has to give ma'aser before he gives her the ingredients. Then after he takes it back, he has to give ma'aser again. Because she's chashed, again, that maybe she's going to switch the ingredients. So you see over here, it's not his mother-in-law. There's no family connection. This is a Ben Torah who's staying by a pundikus. He has to be concerned that maybe she's going to switch the ingredients. The Gemara says, "Hasam nami muriyva amr." The reason why you have to switch it is because we're concerned that maybe she cooked it and it went bad, and she's going to be meira hetter. She's going to say, "Bar be rav lechel chamim v'ano echel kariru." Right? It doesn't make sense that I should be eating better food than the bar be rav, than the yeshiva man. So again, there's a svara why you should assume that maybe she's going to switch it. One last Gemara. Chalufa lechashina. We're not worried that you're going to switch it. But so ishes chavat echenes and ishes ama oretz. Let's say you have two neighbors, two women. One is married to a chavad, the other one's married to an amaretz. They decide one day, nice activity, they're going to grind wheat together, they're going to make challah. So, are they allowed to grind together or not? Says the Gemara. Bizman shi tameya, if the ishes chavar is tameh, then she's allowed to grind the wheat together with the ishes amaretz. The reason she shouldn't be able to is because she may take some of the wheat while she's grinding it and eat it, and she's going to be eating the mai. But being that she's tameh now, so she knows she's not allowed to touch the wheat, so there's no concern she's going to touch it. When she's tired, then she can't, because we're afraid she may eat it. If she's tameh, she shouldn't. Because even though we're not worried that she's going to touch it, she's tameh now, she knows she's not supposed to touch it, but the ishes Amaretz may give it to her. So the Gemara says, "Hashtem mixol gazak luvim ibay." You say that a woman will steal from her husband. She's not allowed to take her husband's food. She's going to give it to her. So if she's willing to steal, we should certainly be concerned that she may swap. Amarab Yosef hasam nami muriyva amar turim midishet kachu. Really, we're not concerned that a woman would steal. We're certainly not worried. She doesn't think she's stealing. If two women are together and they're baking challah and they're grinding wheat, no one thinks he's doing such a bad thing by taking a little bit of wheat and giving it to the neighbor. Ordinarily, chalufa lechashinon. This is a different situation, and we will see a lot more about this in tomorrow's daf.